Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to say this sample has gone wild. I cannot believe all the things that happened this week in reference to the sample award, because it has taken off. It's only have it helped my radio show to get more recognition. Also, I have a book deal in the making, where they want to give me $5,000 up front, and they want to give me $20,000 at the completion of the book deal. Plus, they want to give me $4 for every book that's sold. So, I don't really care. I don't really care about the money itself. I don't care about that. But I would like to get my message out there. According to them, it's going to take them a whole year. And if I had not had the sample of the year going on, I probably would not get the recognition that I'm getting now all across the country. People are going crazy. We have 17 cities that's now has the sample of the year. Well, they have, some of them have it as the month, some of them have it as the week, which I don't really like the sample of the week, but I can deal with the month, I can deal with the year, but, you know, it's just too much work for the to do it by the week. But 17 different cities, I have sent them a short brief just in case they get into any entanglement with anyone, so they can have the information, because it's more important to have the information than anything else. And I have came up with a sample anthem. I want all the people that now has the sample award to use. And it says this: I am going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. The only thing I ask of you, don't bother me, and I promise I won't bother you. As long as you stay out of my way, there won't be no problem. And my thing is this: if you're Sambo, don't call me. I'm not accepting. No, I will never talk to a Sambo again in my life. I don't. If you're Sambo, I do not want to talk to you. I will not talk to you. You see, and I made sure the court knew that. So if for some reason you walk up and talk to me, then I'm not going to be responsible for what happened. See, that's the thing, though. That's why I'm saying, I know all you Sambos are listening. You know, I know you're listening to this show, because without you guys, I would not be where I am today. You have really helped me get this show on the road all across the country, and also international now, international. I even had, this is ridiculous. I never thought that it would go like this. If you ask me how the show going, I could not tell you how the show is going, because I say this. This is the first time in the history of mankind where people have been calling me always. And here's something that happened during the week which really shocked me. I've been talking about Danny, well, he's in prison. He killed his wife. But according to, I never saw these people before in my life. But they came to my church. I thought it was going to be a problem at first. But then they told me they wanted to thank me for bringing this out and talking about those seats. He said, nobody don't really know the truth. He said, but you appear to know the truth. And I respect that. I respect that. And he said, everything just went haywire. He said, those Sikhs are some bad people, real bad people, slimy, gutter rats, you see. But like I told him, I knew the story, and he just verified some of the things I was saying, and just because I want to be truthful, I want to make sure that what I say could be backed up. And according to him, it was. I don't know him. I never saw him before in my life. But I gave him the story and told him what happened, you know, my thing, and he thanked me. He actually thanked me. And I was really, really feeling good behind that because he said, you don't really, you know, people don't really know the whole story. And he said, you appear to know the whole story. I don't know the whole story, but I know certain things about the story, which I can elaborate on because it's been checked out and proven to be true. And it's unfortunate that Danny is in prison and he pulled the trigger but you know, sometimes it is what it is. You know, when you deal with bad people, bad things happen. And these are bad people. I had somebody come in from the Waljack say, yeah, they've been listening to my show, and they said, wow, he said, you hitting the nail right on the head. You see, he said, I'm so glad that you call these people out because they are what you call real, real writing people. People who has, no morals, you know, and they want to be clever. You see, she's a clever broad. She tried to be slick. She get other people to do her dirty work because she's not woman enough to do it herself. You know, and then he said, I'm so glad you gave her a butt whooping in court. You know, we're just glad that you took a stand and whooped that butt. We're glad because of that, because I know that you can, she's out of her league. She's not even in my league, you know. I really feel sorry for her, you know. She's pitiful, you see. But it's unfortunate. And then she had this sexual predator, Michael Hoy. He's been stalking the Benton Harbor Charter School. He was sitting over there leaning up against them watching these kids. He's a sexual predator. See, a real police officer would go in that building and search that building and find out if there's any dead bodies in that building, if there's any kids that's dead in the building. But we live in Benton Harbor. They work with white folks. They scared of white folks. They ain't going to do nothing to hurt nobody white, you know. So, you know, I'm not saying nobody go out there and nail this guy to the cross. But I'm going to wager we're going to catch him sooner or later doing something wrong. We're going to catch him adopting a kid, doing something to a child. It's just a matter of time. We're going to catch him, and we're going to make sure that it be handled properly. I know authorities is not going to deal with it. They know he's a sexual predator because even when I was at the courthouse, the guy even mentioned that he was a sexual predator. You know, one of the bailiffs mentioned, I know who he is. He's a sexual predator. Because how he going to testify to something? And I said, yeah, he was lying. He said, he actually told me, you should have had them arrested. You know, you should file charges against them. But I said, I'll let God take care of them. You know what I'm saying? Let God do it now. I did my job. I gave him a buck whooping. I spanked that booty, you know. And then, you know, I pulled that girl that came in there, testified lying, the one who, when a mother had open heart surgery, and she wouldn't let her mother come stay with her. Her mother been, just since I've been knowing her mother, she's been so sweet to her. And that's what she do. She's a user who don't know how to be a user. That's how she do, you know. But she's anybody who hang out with my letter C, you know who they are. You know what they are. You see. You know, you can look at the family. And here's a funny thing. They said the other son was the bad seed. But I don't think so. I think he's the good child. You know, I didn't see no horns coming out of his head. I didn't see no tail coming from his butt. But the other one, he got horns and tail. And they don't want you to know the truth about him. But I'm glad that that guy came to my church and talked about it, and he thanked me. He said, I appreciate what you're doing, and what you're doing is the right thing. You know, well, that was his opinion. You know, maybe other people in the family may not feel that way, but that was his opinion, that I was doing the right thing by pointing out Dwayne Cease and his act, counseling people, then later on sleeping with him, you see. So that was a good thing. I saw where it was going, so I really didn't want to say too much about it. I didn't think that he was going to say what he was going to say. And it really gave me a lot of confidence. And I just said, wow, that was huge. Just that, matter of fact, that was even more than all the people that's doing the Sambo of the year or the week or of the month award. That was even bigger than that. And I really, really appreciate it. And all the people that's coming and thanking me, calling these people out. Never thought it would happen. Not here in this city, you see. You know, this city is a city that's scared to speak up, scared to say anything. They ain't going to say nothing, you know. And then when they need help, they come running over here. And then, unfortunately, it had brought more people. More people been calling me about needing my help. And I'm trying to get out of that, you know. That's what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to get out of actually doing it. I'm going another route, you know. We're going to have our 20-person release in 2024 from prison, and that's where I'm going in court watching. Those are the two things that I'm going to be doing, which is to me is very important. So also, I want to say this before we get into the members of the Sambo, which is blowing my mind. I'm going to tell you just like it is. But we got to get out and vote in November. Make sure you get out and vote. And remember, do not vote for Mayor Marcus Muhammad, Sharon Henderson, and Edward Eisen. They failed to tell the residents of Benton Harbor that the water was unsafe to drink. They had no regard for our children and seniors for those 3 years. Every resident should have received a notice that the water was contaminated with lead and bacteria. See, the law said the mayor, the city manager, and the commissioners supposed to send out a notice in everybody's water bill that the water contained dangerous lead. Their job was to send the notice out, and they never did it. Then they tried to, they can't even carry their own weight and admit that they failed the job. Then they started working on the pipe. The only reason they got the money for the pipe was because of Reverend Edward Pinckney and the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have a clue of what to do. They were waiting for white folks to tell them what to do. White folks ain't going to tell you what to do when they're going to kill black folks. And even with all the killing and stuff, there's a remedy for that, you see. There's a remedy, but they keep flooding the community with guns. And as long as they flood the community with guns, you're going to have a lot of killing and robbing. They ain't trying to catch nobody, you know. But now they're robbing white folks. So that's going to be a whole different ballgame. And listen, don't get out of there. If you're part of the class action lawsuit, don't go out and vote for them. And don't let me see no signs in your yard, because that tells me that you want to be removed from the lawsuit. You see, and here's another thing. They're raising the water rate on all Benton Harbor residents 10% each year for the next 5 years. They was paying for water they couldn't drink. Can you imagine? They was paying for water they couldn't drink, and they didn't say nothing. They wanted me to say something. Man, I ain't thinking about these people, you see. You know, I'm not. I'm thinking about the children. That's who I fight for. I don't fight for these old dogs. You know, I'm fighting for the children and the women. You know, I'll give them a pass, you know, even though they're part of the problem, too. But I'll give them a pass. But that's who I fight for. I stand up for the women because it's crucial that we do that, you see. And we got to start teaching our black brothers. You know, I have enough sense to know that the power that be, and those that don't know, don't respect critical thinking. Critical thinking is the ability to effectively analyze information and judgment. You see, they don't want you to be able to do that. And a lot of blacks don't. They want to keep you high. We got all kind of marijuana places around here. They got everything you had, you know. They're not satisfied with abusing our people. They abused us for over 450 years. They abused us. They slapped us around for over 450 years. Torture. You see? And they was hanging us left and right. And you never heard anybody going to jail for hanging a black person. And you never will. Even today, black cops can go out and shoot you. And they get away with it. Cops can go out and shoot you dead, unarmed, and be justifiable homicide. And you accept it because you scared to open your mouth. You're not going to open your mouth unless it's your family. That's why we're in this compromising position today, because you're not going to hear a mumbling word, most of them. But we do have some folks out here fighting. Matter of fact, one of the things that happened the other day of Black Lives Matter, I was talking about the Stambo of the Year Award, and they was excited. They said, well, hey, let us get, you know, get a piece of that. I said, yeah, but, you know, the way we do it, every chapter can do the Stambo of the Year Award. They, you know, but we got a lot of Stambos. I mean, the field is crowded with Stambos. These are the folks who want to be like white folks. These are the folks that that can't wait to be with them against you or try to destroy you. You see, that's important. But look, we got to get out and vote in November, November 7th. You know, it's unfortunate, but we got to get this guy out of office by any means necessary. Straight up Sambo. I would never, you know, all the years I have known about the Nation of Islam, Minister Louis Farrakhan, I grew up in Chicago, and never would I believe that a guy from the Nation would be a straight up Sambo. Straight up. Never. I remember there was a guy that was living on that block that was a Nation. When I was little then, many, many years ago, they came to that house and chastised him, you know, and straightened him out. They never had another problem out of it. And that's how you deal. If you claim to be what you are, you go and check that man. This guy needs to be checked, you know. And, you know, I got to congratulate him. He's supposed to have a 18-year-old girl pregnant, and she's supposed to be having a baby girl. They called and told me this week that Muhammad's girlfriend, I think she's 18 now. I think she was 17 when he was dating her. And they said he's having a baby girl. So I said, well, we got to do the blood test before I actually say that's his child. Because girls are, you know, kind of loose nowadays. But anyway, I made sure that she understood. I want to be there for the blood test. I want to make sure that, you know, when the baby is born, you call me, I'll go up to the hospital and I'll be there. Because I want to see, you know, and I'm not going to accuse him fathering that baby until after the blood test and the birth of the baby. You see, they can tell now. They can actually drain fluid from the baby now and test it and find out what it is, baby. But I'm not that, you know, I'm just going to wait, and I'm not going to accuse him of fathering that baby with that girl. Well, she's 18 now, but he got about four daughters that's older than 18. So, wow, you know, he might even be molesting his daughters, the way it sounds to me, but you don't know. But he got a sweet wife. I like his wife. You know, she's humble, she's sweet, she's kind, and she's a Muslim woman, and she's probably been a Muslim woman all her life. Something got to give. Something got to give. You know, all the hell we've been through, and we have to continue to face this. You get a black person in a position, and the first thing they do, they switch horses right in the middle of the race, you see? And that's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. So we got to stay focused and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. and do what we need to do. Pastor, if you on the line, press 1 so I know it's you. You will be my next speaker. So press 1 if you on the line. Press 1 if you on the line, Pastor. I don't see you pressing 1, so that means that you're not there. If we have a full house, and I'm going to try to get you guys in here. I'm going to try to get everybody in here who can come in. But let me give you the sample, the numbers for the sample of the year. Wow, I look like I'm messed up. That total number, I don't see my numbers. I don't see my numbers. I don't see my numbers. Don't. I don't see my numbers. I got them. Here we go. All right. Here's the numbers. This week, for the sample of the year, once again, Marletta Seats is winning. She got 16,425 votes, and they have given her plenty of love. Let's give her some love. Give her some more love, because that's the girl who needs to win this. But look, you vote your choice. Don't make me influence you. I want you to vote whoever you want. So Marletta Seats got 16,425 votes. 16,000, followed by Marcus Muhammad with 13,759, followed by Trenton Boyne, 13,732. Followed by Dwayne Seats, the mother-son combination. Boy, I would like to see I'd like to see them both come in as a tie and win the Sample of the Year award. You know, and he has 7,732. Ron Singleton, 13,732. Singleton, 13,725. Sharon Henderson, 13,719. Ellis Mitchell, Sleepy, who come to work and go to sleep. The only person in the world who come to work and go straight to sleep, Ellis Mitchell, the city manager. He got 13,659. Then we have Judge Mayfield, call her the baby snatcher. She got 12,984. And then we have the chief of police, McGinnis, who has 12,975. He's another one protecting Michael Hoyt. When they told me that Michael Hoyt was spying on these children at the Benton Harbor Charter School, he was on the outside of the fence. They said his mouth was watering. They said he was looking at their children. And I said, why didn't you call me when he was there? Don't call me when he leaves. Call me when he's there. I need take some pictures so we'll know. He said they said that he was frantic. See, one thing about a sexual predator, you see, he can't stop. He can't stop. It's a real sickness that's in him. He can't stop. That's why I know that there's some dead bodies in that building. Because I know he can't stop. And they know. The police department know it. Then our police department know it. They ain't going to do nothing. Yeah, I can't worry about it. The sheriff's department know it. They're not going to do it because he's a white guy and he's killing black people. I believe there are dead bodies inside that house, in that church. I don't have no evidence to support it, but I believe that there's dead bodies inside that building, you see. And we're never going to know because we don't have the right people working to make that happen. But look, I'm going to be moving along. I'm going to bring in my first guest. My first guest is going to be my good friend, one and only Libby. And we're going to take it from there. Then we'll go to Belinda Parker Brown. And if the pastor is on there, we'll go come back to him. And we'll try to get them all in. We'll get them all in before 6 o'clock. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only, Libby. Talk to me. Talk to me, Libby.
Well, I decided Libby. I would call in just to find out for you the job you're doing with. If you wanted to hear some of an article that I found on MLive, and here's the title, and see what you think if you'd like to hear a bit of this.
Absolutely. Libby, I know if you got an article, I want to hear it. Talk to me. If you got an article, I want to hear it, Libby. Take me, how they say, me home, young lady. Take me home.
All right, good. Well, I'm going to read it, but I want you to come to 60 deaths, that's 6-0, in 5 years. Why did it keep happening?
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, am I really? Oh, dear.
You're good now.
I think
you sound good and clear. You sound good and clear now, but you're breaking up really.
Tell me if I break up again.
Okay.
And it was published on June 7th, 2023, and it was on MLive, and the author, the reporter, is named Gus Burns. And here's how it starts. When police lights flash, sometimes drivers run to die. That's what happened to 15-year-old Jordan Jarrell of Jackson. When the driver of the vehicle he was a passenger in on April 28th, hit the gas after Jackson County Sheriff deputy tried to stop them. The Jeep flipped. Jarrell and another 15-year-old were launched through the window. Jarrell's mother, Chandra Mundinger, said at her son's April 30th vigil, "My baby never intended for this to happen." The next week, Micah Damon Cross, 19, of Ypsilanti, tried to lose police who attempted to stop him for reckless driving. His vehicle instead struck an innocent motorist, injuring a 42-year-old mother and her two children, 9 and 5 years old. Cross then crashed into a utility pole. His vehicle rolled and caught fire. He died. Adrenaline and accelerators pump when suspects flee, but rarely do they escape. Occasionally, however, they or pursuing officers crash, ending the lives of passengers, police, innocent civilians, and most often themselves. After the fires are extinguished, cars towed, and funerals held, it can be hard to balance the loss of life with the need for a dangerous high-speed chase. Yet, they still happen. A review of fatal police pursuits reported by MLive identified 5 this year and 6 in 2020. According to the most recent University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute data, police pursuits played a role in more than 3,223 Michigan crashes between 2017 and 2021. At least 60 people died, an average of 12 per year. Acknowledging the danger, there's a growing trend in policing, and that is, let the bad guys go. State police policy tells troopers they will face no consequences for failure to initiate or continue a high-speed pursuit. Other policies reviewed by MLive explicitly ban officers from initiating chases for minor traffic violations or misdemeanors. About 20, let's see who's talking here. This is the former Detroit Police Chief James Craig. And his quote is, about 20 years ago, you try to outrun a cop, they're going to chase you. Letting suspects go is controversial, and I know a lot of police officers, especially the young ones, resist it. Craig strengthened the Detroit police vehicle pursuit policy in 2017. in part responding to a June 24, 2015 chase during which a suspect with a passenger in a Chevrolet Camaro tore through a neighborhood just before dusk and struck five people, killing a three-year-old and a six-year-old. The kids were riding scooters in the sidewalk. Three other children and a woman were injured. Pursuing officers said they believed they saw one of the fleeing suspects holding a gun, although no weapon was ever recovered. Under the revised 2017 policy, that chase would have never been authorized. It said, quote, "Police may only initiate or participate in a vehicle pursuit when there is probable cause to believe the suspect committed a violent felony," unquote. Again from Police Chief Craig, "I'm very pro-policing all the way, but part of it is being able to balance, and most agencies now have adopted policies that don't allow for pursuits for traffic infractions and misdemeanors, most." Craig said one of the controversies that emerged when his department tightened his policy was that it conflicted with existing policy of state police, and they also patrolled the city. He said that their policy was that they could pursue for any reason. Unbelievable. Anyway, state police in August 2017 temporarily suspended all police pursuits for misdemeanors and traffic violations in Detroit in response to blowback it faced after ex-trooper Mark Bessner killed 15-year-old Damon Grimes. Bessner fired his taser at Grimes, who was fleeing on an ATV, whatever that is, causing Grimes to crash into a pickup and die. The state in 2019 settled a civil lawsuit related to the death for $12 million, and Bessner is still serving a 5 to 15 year sentence after being convicted of voluntary manslaughter. The police pursuit policy inconsistency did not just exist between state police and local enforcement in Detroit. State police troopers chased a driver who tried to flee a traffic stop for speeding in March of 2017. A Kentwood police officer witnessed the suspect and police vehicle speed past, but he did not help. Kentwood Chief Thomas Hillen said, "We have a no pursuit policy unless there's a serious felony that, if you allowed them to escape, would be a danger to the community." Michigan State Police since released a revised vehicle pursuit policy in 2022. It's a little more liberal than Detroit's, but also states a civil infraction or traffic violation on its own is not sufficient to justify a pursuit. Another felony, other than fleeing, eluding, must have been committed, or the driver must pose significant immediate risk to the officer or others. It's difficult to gauge how similar or different police pursuit policies actually are, since most are not published and are exempt from public record. Hamtramck Police Chief Ann Moyes would only say this: "We do have a pursuit policy that is in accordance with all applicable laws." Warren Police Commissioner William Dwyer told MLive his agency's 8-page policy is confidential, but pursuit practices have changed dramatically over the last couple of years. And Dwyer said, "We terminate, even when it's a felony, when it reaches the city limits, like most of these do. Take property crimes. You used to pursue on all auto thefts. We terminate on auto thefts now." Dwyer said the modern approach to police chases is much different than it was a decade ago. It was not uncommon to pursue vehicles at a high rate of speed until they lost control and crashed, or you just lost them in traffic or something. Today, a determination is made. sometimes in a matter of seconds, to terminate by either the officials themselves or watch commanders. Obviously, it's cutting down on crashes, it's cutting down on lawsuits, and cutting down on injuries. The list goes on. What's more important, a life or getting somebody, what's more important, a life or getting somebody who stole a car? Saline police, who were involved in a May 5th fatal pursuit of a 19-year-old, continued to investigate whether department policy was followed. The department policy states a pursuit is justified when there's a potential threat to life or infliction of great bodily harm, a potential escape of a perpetrator who poses a significant threat to the lives and safety of others, and in crimes in progress requiring the immediate presence of a police officer. The policy states, and this is all Saline, Michigan, pursuits or emergency runs related to subjects involved in serious offenses are viewed as more justifiable than those involving persons suspected of only traffic or other misdemeanor violations. Moving on. Following an internal investigation, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office determined that deputies followed policy related to the pursuit that led to the death of a 15-year-old and injuries to four other teens on April 28th. Jackson County Sheriff Gary Schulett said the following: an internal investigation was conducted by the Sheriff's Office to determine if deputies were in compliance with departmental policy, which is standard procedure. The investigation determined that the deputies followed procedure in this instance. The Sheriff's Office declined to share its vehicle pursuit policy. Jackson County Sheriff Kevin Hiller said, the policy itself is for internal purposes only. See how secretive they are? That's just me talking.
Yeah.
Let me see how much more of this article there is. Not that much. Did I finish?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to finish it up. You got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
It'll be less than that.
All right. Let's do it.
It is said that policies themselves have become stricter in nature, and that's just because of the inherent dangers that come along with pursuits in today's world. There are so many factors that a deputy has to take into account when deciding whether or not to pursue. There's always a danger of loss of life. Hiller said the Jackson County chase policy takes into account weather conditions, time of day, nature of the offense and traffic, among other factors. Unlike some policies across the state, Jackson County does not prohibit pursuits for any specific reason, such as minor traffic offenses. Other department policies that are available online, including for Grand Rapids and Muskegon Police, require a fleeing driver to have committed a violent felony or to be posing an immediate violent threat. Still, many fatal pursuits begin with an attempted stop for something minor, seemingly contradicting the intent of many police policies. I think I'm going to end here reading because it's just getting into these policy details. But anybody mm-hmm. who wants to finish this or read it, just Google, police pursuits have led to 60 deaths in 5 years. That's the title of the article. I'll say it once more. Police pursuits have led to 60 deaths in 5 years. So that's the title, and you should be able to find it. And, you know, I don't personally, and you'll probably agree with me this, Reverend Pinckney, I don't necessarily agree that their data is accurate and that they're telling us the truth about these numbers. So that's just one thing to consider when you read the article.
Okay. Can you email me that article?
Sure. I'll do it right now.
Okay. Yeah, email it to me, and I'll get into it. And then we can elaborate on that, you know, if it's not next week. We can do it, you know, sometime tomorrow. We'll talk about it.
Okay, very good. Thanks for letting me on.
All right, dear. You have a great day. We'll talk soon. Let me bring in the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. There's that, you know, if you ask me again, I knock you down. She's the only one in this world who know how to stand up and fight back. Fight back. Fight back.
Hey, Pastor Pinkney. Oh, it was so great hearing Libby on the phone. And I'm just, oh, my goodness, I'm really enjoying the show, Pastor Pinkney. You know, so I'm just, you know, you get me so excited when you start talking about those Sambos. But did I hear you right when you said that Maletta tried to do what now to you? She tried to take you to court, and who but you spanked?
look, Maletta took me going to court talking about I threatened to kill her, and she had this sex predator Michael Hoyer to come in and say that he heard me say I was gonna kill her, and then he had this other lady come in who said now she. Her mother had just got out of operation. She almost died. She had open heart surgery. She wouldn't even let her mother come stay with her until she got well, you know. And but that's the type of people she hang. Well, you know my letter. You know who she
yes,
is.
Indeed.
You know,
yes,
people don't know
my letter is a pathological liar. You know,
yes,
that's what
yes.
she is. Pastor Pinkney. And, you know, and I'm not making that up, you know, that's,
no,
I know
that
fact, you know, she tried to, you know, slender, you know, people just, you know, it's a shame that, you know, she used God's name as a threat to manipulate people and stuff like that. But, you know, I just have to let that, you know, but I don't like the fact that she messing with you, you know, how dare her. You know, try to take you to court on anything.
I don't care what she do. What she do, I'm going to tear her butt up. You know, she way out of her league.
Well, she ain't got that much butt, but you spanked it anyway, though. that's a cry of shame, Pastor Pinkney. Well, woman, you know, I know you said that her and her son, Dwayne Seats, they should do, you know, if she come in first place, then maybe he can come in second. Are you saying they need to tie?
It's got to be a tie that way. I can classify both of them as a winner since it's nine people on the list. You know, but
you can put both of them in first place if they get tied. Okay, all right, I like that. Then maybe that's what you need to do. They need to come in as a tie because both of them are pathological liars. You know, that's what. Yeah, and it's a crying shame. You know, they deserve the Sambo Award because. You know, they can't nobody exemplify better than and represent it better than them. You know, it's just sad, you know. So, you know, she, you know, at one while Pastor Pinkney, she used to try to, act like she was on the right side of things. You know, what her and Marcus got to talking to each other, because at first she was acting like she didn't want nothing to do with him and all
then,
the rest of those Sambos running around there. But Papa, what happened? She must have took a something. They bought her. They put a price tag on her.
Because
them Sambos are for sale. You know they for sale. A nickel a dozen.
They all about the money. They love
right.
the money rather than eternity. You know. So that's
right,
how that
right.
is. So, you know,
well, maybe that's
what happened. Well, you know, all the Sambos, you know, see, Sambos are born. They're not just created. They're born. They be looking for a way where they can make a few dollars off the community. You know, how can we get a few dollars off of the community? How can we do that?
Off of the backs of their own people, because that's what they do. You know, what's her name? Sharon Weeks, you know, those people. It's so sad, Pastor Pinkney. Those people been there all their life, the Renato triplets and different ones. You know, they've been there, and they ain't done nothing. I mean, nothing. And then, my niece, Anicia Brown triplet, you know, she married into that family. But, you know, it was so sad that she was exposing them and telling the truth about them, and then all of a sudden she come up dead. You know, do you think it was a hit on her life because, you know, they was threatening her and you know, and, you know, saying all kinds of stuff about how they was going to get her and shut her up and all that. But she was exposing them, you know, all that the corruption and stuff that was going on in the in City Hall and on the school board and all of that. You know, she was calling them out by name, Pastor Pickney. You know, I got a little video clip from her. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to email it to you. But she was talking about how they was threatening her and, you know, following her around and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden she come up dead, you know. Even though they got the murderer, you know, was that there, but you know, all of that stuff, you know, they you know, it was supposed to be one of her you know, boyfriends or whatever, but see they got all kinds of way that they trap people and put people in their people lives and stuff like that, and she you know, she fell, you know, to the vulnerable, you know, ability of it, and wound up dead. So, you know, you never know. He might have been paid to kill her. I don't know. You know, we don't know, Pastor.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to come on your show. You know, it's always a pleasure to be with you. But I want to talk a little bit about what's going on, you know, Pastor Pickney, and here in Louisiana, and it very well could be happening across the world right now. You know, people are not only that they're respecting, you know, the living, I mean, disrespecting the living, especially when it comes to, like you said, women and children and elderly people. You know, just blatant disrespect for these people. I'm talking about from the United States government on down. They're disrespecting the dead now. You know, here in Louisiana, they're going around, you know, digging up graveyards and, you know, taking people bodies out of the graveyard. And, you know, I've been told this been going on for a long time, but, you know, I'm just a young person, and I'm not trying to dig into all of that. But anyhow, but it's getting really sad now that they're disrespecting the dead. And what they're doing is going around to the graveyards, the dilapidated graveyards, and digging up the bodies and, you know, crushing the skulls and smoking it, you know. And you talk about how they putting dope and all of that stuff in the community. And, you know, I came down there to Benton Harbor, and I went to, you know, my uncle's funeral. And I'm telling you, it was a terrible smell up in there. And then I say, what in the world is this smell? And somebody say, that's the loud, you know. And it's a smell that would just go straight, just make you sick, and it, you know, up your nostrils. And I went in Walmart, and it was up in there. And I went over to the Walgreens store. It was up in there. I went over to Home, you know, to Lowe's. It was up in there. To the and everywhere I went, to the hotel, everywhere, to the restaurants, Pizza Hut, everywhere, it was that smell, Pastor Pickney, and it was horrible, you know. I said, well, what is loud? They say it's weed. I said, now, this is a crying shame. I'm fit to get up out of here, Pastor Pickney. So I just want to let you know that you hit the nail right on the head, that they done poisoned the communities, not only with just the water, but they putting these drugs up in there now, and people don't even realize how bad that is, because it smells like it's got some type of awful chemical in it, and it's really, you know, mentally affecting people. But, you know, they trying to get high off of it and all of that. But just to hear about the fact that they would go into the graveyard, you know, dig up the bones and, you know, looking for the skull where the bodies, sometime they got to get in there before, right after the bodies are decomposed or whatever, and then they crush the skull up and then they smoke it.
I can see that. I see these people doing that. I can actually,
you know,
see them
yeah,
doing
this is this is terrible. So, you know, I want to expose that on your show because, see, if it's getting that bad that, you know, we got people like our leaders, you know, they running around here and they letting, you know, just, you know, all of this foolishness and stuff go on. They really not trying to do anything to protect our communities, you know, expand, you know, build our communities up, you know, bring hope to the people, you know, restoration, liberation for the people. But then, you know, a great person, you know, like, I think about the death of the assassination of Malcolm X, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, that was in during your time. And this man was speaking the truth. I mean, he was so profound with speaking the truth to power. And he was saying some really, really good things that people really needed to know about how important it was what these people were doing to us. You know, so, you know, and he was just trying to bring the people together, but they plotted and they schemed and they planned on how they was going to kill him because they didn't want him to tell the people what they needed to do in order to be self-sustained, you know, to be able to take care of themselves and do things for themselves. That made them so mad that they killed Malcolm X because they knew if they hadn't have shut him up and did something about him that we would not be suffering and going through the things that we're going through right now with the Mohammeds, Yarboes,
you got Ellis Mitchell, you got McGinnis, you got Judge Mayfield, you got
Ron Singleton,
yep.
Right? Ain't he on your Sambo list?
Yes, he is.
We passed the big bad thing.
You call him the disgrace commissioner because he actually stealing money from the city. He's getting lieutenant pay, one lieutenant when he retired. He's been retired for over 10 years. He's been stealing money from the community. But they know about it, but they're not going to say anything about it. They know that this guy is getting money illegally, but they're all in it together.
Wow. You know, it's really sad, Pastor Pinckney, because, you know, I came through there, like I said, it was probably several months ago. And, you know, I left there in 2007. And it's a sad shame that you know, it looked by now, you know, they would have done something to turn that city around. But it's so dilapidated. I'm like, who are these people that would just live up under these type of conditions? And then Marletta Seitz, you know, she was supposed to be on the commission and over there in St. Joe to bring all of this money and all of these developments and all of this stuff that's supposed to be coming there to help the citizens in Benton Harbor to revitalize.
Mm-hmm.
All of that good stuff, and you know,
all,
Pastor
all,
Pink, all of those
right.
teachers
mm-hmm.
and stuff. You know, why come they never did try to get together and open up their own school to better educate the people there? You know, why come
there
they just retired and went on and you know put all of their energy and life into a city like that and don't do nothing? I'm talking about the Nora Jeffersons and some of them. People live Olivia
yeah,
James
yeah, all,
Russell.
He's a white man. That's what they did. They bought into him. Their message was to deliver that message to the people, to the black folk. Because black people, they don't do no research. They go by word of mouth. If somebody say
yeah, you know, like the Goodloves, you know, those were some good people, you know, but they didn't do nothing. They ain't do jack. They ain't do nothing for their children and their grandchildren to leave a legacy, but they retired and put all their, you know, life and energy into a city that they didn't do nothing. They ain't do nothing, Pastor. Pinckney. You know, I'm talking about the Bishop Wells and the Burtons. What you call them? The you know, all those people that ran around there. You know who I'm talking about, so-called leaders and stuff, like they was going to do something. They was always acting like they was going to do something.
All them.
Maurice Burton and all of them. They was acting like they was going to do something.
They didn't
want to see you doing nothing.
Yeah, I could have told they had no intention of doing nothing. No intention.
You know, that's a crying shame. They need to be on the Sambo list because that's a disgrace.
Well,
you know, they sat back there, and you know that, you know what? Their children and their grandchildren need to hold them accountable and make them responsible for that. They need to, the grandchildren need to punish them, Pastor Pinckney, for what they did. And they probably already suffering from their grandkids and stuff because, you know, what they done did is put a curse on them children.
Yeah.
I had to get my kids out of there, Lord knows. But it's a crying shame, Pastor Pinckney.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, it's all over. It ain't, you know, it ain't just...
All over. I want to make the grand announcement on your show because I have, you know, adopted, you know, your plan, your ideal, I mean, your fantastic ideal, your just super, super... ideal of starting a Sambo here in the state of Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney. So I want you to come down here and celebrate and the grand opening when I make the announcement that we're going to adopt the Sambo. I want to call it, it's the Sambo grand finale because Louisiana is ground zero for the Sambos.
I love it.
And maybe we can, it can spread across the entire country like a wildfire because until we start calling these people out and identifying who these people are that have, you know, set back and sold us out and kicked us under the bus and let us suffer the way we have suffered, Pastor Pinckney, because they want to be, you know, the petty BYG and the Sambos and all got their own agenda on how they going to get paid, me, my foe, and no more, what you going to do for me, those people need to be exposed because the whole entire country is fed up with them, Pastor Pinckney. We are fed up with those people. They can call it what they want to call it, but I guarantee you, can't nobody call it like you, Pastor Pinckney. It is a glorified Sambo, and they got to be exposed.
Amen. And I came up with a Sambo anthem, too, so they can have a national anthem for them. And it goes something like this. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I am going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. The only thing I ask of you, don't bother me, and I promise I won't bother you. As long as you stay out of my way, there will be no trouble. Because you're the Sambo, and I'm hoping I break the curse that nobody else will be Sambo. Dun-da-da-da-dun!
Ooh, yes, indeed. That's what they do, Pastor Pinckney. That time we're going to put a loop on that. All right, that's where we get some of these young people to put a little beat to it. It's going to sound real good.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. I want to hear that. Maybe we can go ahead on, write the book, and it'll be the bestseller.
Absolutely. So things been moving. I tell you, this stuff is going, even down here, people have been coming to the church and you know, they want to know more about the Sambo. I say, just vote. You call me, you can email me, whatever you want. I got Tawana working on it. I got to make sure that she, you know, she's doing what she's supposed to do. She adding up the votes. And, you know, it's a lot. I never thought they were going to be like this. It's almost out of control. I want to
know about the banquet coming up in October because I'm trying to see if I'm going to be planning to travel.
No, you know, we're having a conference on Wednesday, but the banquet is not until January the 6th.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Sambo, the banquet is January the 6th.
Oh,
so
okay,
that's goal, and that's what we're trying to do. But look, Glenn, I'm out of time.
Okay, that's
so
good. That gave me a little bit more time to plan for it than Pastor Pinckney, where I sure plan on coming.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
All
let's
right now, and my birthday is next week, and your birthday is what, the week after?
Mine is at the end of the month. Mine's at the end of yours on the what, the 5th?
Yeah, mine's on the 5th, I think. Yours on the what, the 25th?
The 27th. Mm-hmm.
The 27th, that's right, the 27th. Okay, because my husband is on the 29th. All
right,
I got you, Pastor.
Right. All right, it's going down, girl.
It's going
right,
down. It's going all the way down.
Yeah. Next week.
All right.
Next
thank
week.
You.
Take care.
All right.
Everybody.
I love you, Pastor Pinckney. Give Dorothy
love
you, love. And tell Libby I said hello.
I will. That's a promise.
Okay. Now. All
right. All
right. Bye.